All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. Proverbs 26. I'd like to consider verses 18 and 19 this morning, Proverbs 26. And before I read that passage, I want to say that I stand before you today with the realization that this may be the last time I ever preach the gospel. And this may be the last time you ever hear it. But if there's ever been anything needful, it's that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ be preached. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. God calls sinners to Himself through the preaching of the gospel. And if I were to sum up the preaching of the gospel, if someone were to say, tell me what you mean when you say the gospel. If I could sum it up in one verse of scripture, this would be it. Jonah 2:9. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. All of it. Man has no hand in salvation. Now listen to me. If this is the last time, and I mean this, I mean it, my heart has been burdened with this message, with this passage that I plan to deal with this morning. Listen, young people, older people, us, listen to me. You're going to die. You're going to die. And we're all going to stand before God. Eternity is on our doorstep. Listen to me. Life is a vapor. I desire this morning to preach the gospel. If the gospel is preached, Christ is going to be honored. God's people are going to rejoice. Man and his work is going to be abased. And the Word of God, according to the Scriptures, is going to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. God's going to do something today. Now, as we consider this passage, and this is the next passage going through Proverbs, and I've been trying to take these verses verse by verse by verse by verse, and every time asking the Lord, Lord, give me understanding here. Lord, open my eyes. Teach me what's being said. As the Lord is my witness, how many times I've thought these words. Lord, You wrote this. You know what it means. Would You teach me? Would You allow me the privilege to tell the folks what it means? Proverbs 26, 18, 19. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? I'd like to pick up where Brother Neil read out of 2 Timothy, talking about the warning that's given men. And knowing what we heard, knowing what we've just read, I'd like to consider, and I'm gonna just look at the latter part, the second, verse 19 of that passage I just read, and I want us to consider the greatest evil against men. Now, I'm going to tell you the greatest evil, the cruelest evil against men, the cruelest act that can be committed against eternity-bound sinners. Here's the cruelest thing that can be done. Deceive you. So is the man that deceiveth his neighbor. That is to beguile or to deal treacherously with, to deceive him. Now, any deception, I'm talking about that which is frivolously done to mislead someone, is cruel. To do it with knowledge, to deceive you. It's cruel because the well-being of the neighbor wasn't considered. He was mocked, he was made to be the brunt of an insensitive act. And he may have acted according to what he believed was the truth, but only to his peril. That's cruel. That's cruel to deceive. And that deliberate deception is dangerous because it may have caused a trusting neighbor to do something that was unwise or unworthy of himself or of others. It just, to deceive somebody, to lie to somebody, to lie to you. But the cruelty of the deception is found to be when that deceiver has been exposed for his deception, and he gives this worthless answer. Am I not in sport? Sport. That word sport, detracting, laughing in pleasure, and mocking. Mocking. But the harm, the hurt, the pain that's inflicted is just as real. Deception takes on two faces. Number one, it's deception when it's an out and out lie. It's just a bald-faced lie. But the other face is known by the withholding of the truth. One of them is an out-and-out lie. And the other one is, I just don't tell you the truth. But they accomplish the same thing. Deception. And if we were to judge the scope, the depth of deception, and consider the example that is given by the Lord. Here is the example. As a madman. Now I've looked this up. I always encourage you to do so. As a madman. That is one that is rabid. You know, a rabid animal, a rabid dog. Or it also means insane. As a madman who casteth firebrands, flaming arrows, flaming torches, arrows and death. An insane man that's just in the midst of people, and he's throwing things that hurt, maim, kill. As a madman, rabid or insane, who casteth firebrands, arrows, death. So is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? Am I not playing? And am I not doing this to make merry? Now you know even believers are warned against foolishness. Ephesians chapter 5. We're warned against this because I'm going to just tell you right now. I was talking to a dear brother the other day and we were talking about this. How easily we're all prone to this. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm the worst. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be named among you as becometh saints. You say, well, I'm glad I'm not in that group. It's fornicators. All that unfilthiness. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, not proper, not profitable, but rather giving of thanks. We need to be so careful what we say. I mean, I know this. We all have fun, but I'm telling you, we need to be careful. We need watch what we say. That tongue can be so. Be careful. When we come together like this, I don't want to be a distraction. I don't want to be a distraction to you. I don't want to be a distraction to what we're about to hear. I want to be sober-minded. God help me to be that way. But I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you, it gets deeper. Deeper. God's people are even prone to this. But it gets deeper. The worst deception, distraction, is rendered when a man stands in the position as a preacher, as a teacher, and without excuse or conscience, deceives those who hear him. Have you ever noticed how often in the Scriptures warn of false preachers? False preachers. Be careful. Let me go back to the beginning. We're going to die. We're going to stand before God. Listen to me. The Scripture declares this deception, false preaching, to be like an insane man, a rabid man holding in his hands instruments of unspeakable danger, weapons meant to kill, and then violently throwing those lethal weapons into a crowd of people, and doing so in cruel sport. Sport. He's doing it as a performance. I'm going to show you that. The first mention of this word sport is found in the book of Judges. Go back toward the front of the Bible, about halfway back from where you are, and turn with me to Judges 16. Judges chapter 16. This word, sport, first mentioned, Judges 16. And let's read. Now this is about when Samson, he was captured. And he was captured by the Philistines. And Judges chapter 16, verse 21. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Remember, as long as his hair wasn't cut, God gave him power, gave him strength, cut his hair. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, and they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, they'd been having a little bit of drink, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. We need a little entertainment. Let's have a show. Let's have a performance. Bring Samson out here, that he can make us sport. That he can make us some entertainment. That we can have some fun. The scripture says back in Proverbs 26, as a madman with casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith unto him, now listen to this, am not I in sport? Am I not performing? Am I not doing this for fun? Is it not a laugh? And the weapons, the unscriptural lies, a distortion of the truth. I was reading something today. Charles Spurgeon said this. We believe John Calvin had written down, we talk about Calvinism. Calvinism, you know, is a term that we use for the proclamation of what the Lord was pleased to show John Calvin. He just, you know, we believe in the total depravity of man. What does that mean? I mean, from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot, there's nothing there that seeks after God. He's totally depraved, nothing untouched by the fall. Nothing that was not corrupted. We believe in unconditional election, that God didn't choose because he saw anything in man that was worthy. We believe that. We believe in L is for limited atonement or particular redemption. And John Calvin made this statement on the fallacy. And I had never thought of it like this. But he said, those that set forth that the Lord Jesus Christ died for everybody, every man that's ever lived. He said, when he went to the cross, did he also die for those that had died and were in hell? You remember those that stood up against, Moses in the desert? God opened up the earth. And what does the scripture say? God sent them alive to hell. Did he die for them too? I've never thought of that. We always make, but what a mockery. What a mockery of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever someone makes sport, there's a distortion. But not only do they declare an out-and-out lie, but there's a twisting, a wrestling of the Scriptures. Let me give you the one that comes to my mind. Turn to 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Now listen to this. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, do you want to know how that scripture is twisted? People will read the latter part of that. God's not willing that any should perish. Yeah, but you didn't read the first part, that He's long-suffering to usward. To the usward who? I go back to the first letter that Peter wrote. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect. according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief, under obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. They'll quote what they'll tell you a half truth. That's deception. Deception. Man is without excuse for preaching. Men that stand in pulpits today and are deceiving people are without excuse. I thought of three things. Number one, they got a Bible. They've got a Bible. Somebody will say, well, yeah, but unless the Spirit of God gives them light on that Bible, they're not going to know what it means. They're without excuse. Here's the Scriptures. What saith the Scriptures? I'll tell you another thing, God. The Lord Jesus Christ has sent men into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is being preached. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. They've got the Scriptures. They've got the hearing. And I'll tell you the last thing. They're without excuse because nature. They've got nature. That's what Romans 1 says. They've got nature. And it clearly manifests God's eternal power and Godhead. Men are without excuse. The invisible things of the creation glorify God. That's what Scripture said. And when man sees these things, and he doesn't glorify God as God, sovereign God, and he's not thankful, but rather, the Scripture says, is vain in his imagination, his foolish heart is darkened when he professes himself to be wise, he's nothing but a fool, and God has given him up to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient, which are not becoming, which are not fit. He's without excuse. So knowing that, according to God's Word, there are those who are without excuse, deceiving their neighbors. They're standing in pulpits and they're deceiving as a madman who is, he's one who is insane and he's casting out these implements of death. What do you do? Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Come out from among them. Be you separate. Don't be unequally yoked together. Don't yoke yourself. They are playing a deceptive, cruel game. And it's deadly. It's deadly. The Lord said in Mark 4:24, take heed what you hear. Now listen to me. Take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. The Lord in Matthew 15:7-8, I thought this was so eye-opening to me. The Lord said, He was talking about these Jews that refused to hear what He had to say. And He said, you hypocrites. Now, the definition of that is really eye-opening. The Lord said, you actors. You stage players. You entertainers who jest for amusement. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How do I know the truth? How do I know the truth? Jeremiah 3:15, so the Lord said, I'm going to send you pastors after my heart. And they'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. In John chapter 6, I'll read this for you. John chapter 6, I'm going to wrap this up. John 6, verse 44 and 45. The Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Do you know that's exclusive? No man can. That's talking about ability. No man can. No man can. Except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophets. They shall be all taught of God. How do I know the truth? Here's when you hear the truth, here's what you're going to hear. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of God. If you're listening, if you hear someone talking about man's will, man's choice, God's done all He can do, leave. 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 I had someone tell me one time, well, you know, if you listen for it, you can hear it. That's not good enough. If it's not all of grace, leave. When you hear the gospel, you're going to hear that God is God Almighty. He's sovereign in creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He's God in providence. Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? And He is God in salvation. Same verse I keep quoting. Salvation is of the Lord. He has chosen a people in Christ before the foundation of the world that they should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Ephesians 1:4. Christ came into this world to save His people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. He lived for and died for His people. Galatians 2:16. He laid down His life for the sheep. John 10:15. And bore their griefs in His own body. 1 Peter 2:24. And when it pleases God, He's going to call them to Himself. By His Spirit, He will regenerate them, give them a new heart, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Proverbs 23:23 says this. Buy the truth and sell it not. What does that mean? Reckon that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is according to God's will, God's purpose. Reckon that to be the truth. God's truth. The truth of the highest value. And spare no pains, no cost. What does it cost? I was talking about Brother Elio, Mexico. And I tell you, my heart was smitten when I heard one time what some of those people have to go through to get to the services. I can't remember. Was it 3 hours some of them have to travel? 3 hours. Now listen, I know it. I know it's a long time. I know it's a long time. But I'm telling you, listen, is it worth it? Spare no call, no sacrifice. Spare no sacrifice to hear it. To hear it. Be aware that there's deceivers. That's what the Scripture says. Buy the truth and sell it not. That is, don't barter with it for earthly pleasure. Don't be reasoned or laughed out of it. And don't part with it for any consideration. It's the power of God unto salvation. We're going to leave this world. And I'm telling you, when we take that last breath, one thing's going to matter. What think you of Christ? What think you of Christ? He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my priest. Without Him, I can do nothing. I pray God bless this to our heart. God's glory in our good. Amen.